this is the Criminal Law and Procedures Committee, Wednesday, April 21, 1971, 3 p.m. Room 315, State Capitol. Today's agenda: HJR 12, House Bills 1168, 1533, and 1535.
Until his conviction was subsequently affirmed by the United States Supreme Court. deputy of active play of Muhammad Ali, who has been convicted of federal crime. He has still all the privileges of citizenship of being free, of being able to retain and follow his given employment, never spending any time in jail at all, because the matter is still on appeal. And one wonders what if Cassius Clay was a black man from Albina, Portland, Oregon, charged with a larceny charge, if he would be out walking the streets now if he did not post bail, or if he would still be in jail awaiting the final appeal in the Oregon Supreme Court. The concept behind the bill is that incarceration prior to conviction it should not depend upon one's ability to post bail at court bond. This system says that if the bill says that if the court that it has an obligation to provide speedy trial, and it says at any time in excess of 60 days in jail prior to your conviction is too long, and if the court shall try you in a 60-day period, or they shall release you on your own recognizance. And if you review the bill, you'll see there are some restraints to be starting the release on your own recognizance and take charge for the trial of the state of Oregon. And I basically feel what this bill does is put the blindfold back on justice, which you see four candidates in an equal way prior to the time of the conviction of the trial.
Any questions?
And you mentioned about the similarity of the numbers that skipped out on either on bail or on the house. Wouldn't you think that the one group is extended on the court that they really compare that to the other
group? I think you picked a weak point. Yes, I would say that because they do release people on their own cognizance that they think they're not skipped. However, people are released on bail, apparently, are those individuals that they think are not trustworthy enough to release on their own time. But the district attorney who did testify and is very active and very thorough testimony, I think, touched the nerve of this situation is that the bail system really just doesn't provide any service that can be demonstrated to the state. No one testified in the House of this case to the fact that they thought that by doing this, we were going to have wholesale fleeing the state of Oregon and going into hiding from people who are charged with serious crimes. And really, if we're going to say that it's okay to try to flee if the person's got the money to put up bail, then we're still putting a means test. And I just think that many judges or any prosecutors feel the test of putting that bail in front of the people.
Are the other jurisdictions either federal or state jurisdictions?
I don't know that. I think the Reverend Richardson will have some information on that.
Another question. What does this do to the court system in Oregon County? Or the
Reverend? May I direct my question to your question, Multnomah County? At this time in Multnomah County, they do make a sincere effort to try in criminal cases first to bring the trial to the county. My understanding is it takes approximately 180 days before the time of getting the trial. I would think that it would make the court carefully consider the circumstances of the defendant and make a more of an effort to see to it that he was recalled, perhaps under some sort of supervisory control of the building. And I think also, three very fine candidates, it will stimulate the county to feel that they do need additional years of manpower in the future, and that they will try to give the immediate trial to some charges of crime that we know. You know, Ramsey Clark, in his study, stated that the main deterrent to crime is that quick trial and early punishment.
Thank you.
Justice Murray was just denied the premise of this presentation. Also, the motivating force behind the over inflation sponsored by the ad hoc Race Committee. The bill was sponsoring and would require trial release for customer activity for that. It would exempt covered persons charged with good crimes and prisoners who were sentenced to previous offenses. Our concern is with those persons awaiting trial and jail, the proposed legislation deals solely with jail for crime. I said that unless a person who is convicted of a crime sees immediate relationship between the commission of crime and conviction and incarceration, it will be more concerned with that than the future conduct. Former Attorney General Church avoids needed to pursue criminal activities to have the police established that a person committed crimes and will be a first arrest trial for this complaint. The aim of this proposal is to secure the apparent effect by overcoming the present delay in criminal prosecution. The second reason for our concern for overcoming delay arises from our understanding of what happens to persons who experience incarceration and the charge of the work by jail and most likely to make their motion to reform them. We warn this against putting persons in an environment of grief crime. We are saying that delay in the criminal justice system carries a hidden cost. One of those hidden costs is that we have no way of calculating the common attitudes engendered in persons who feel victimized by prolonged incarceration. Our form of society is based on equality before the law. We call trade justice between blindfolded and symbolize the idea that the good faith of justice is even-handed and fair-minded. When we confine persons awaiting trial for unreasonable periods of time simply because we do not have the means to force bail, we make a fair distinction in the way we see an entire class of people named in court. Those persons who feel most acutely the oppressiveness of delay, who are most often wronged in this regard, those who have the least number of avenues to recourse open to them to secure justice are the poor, who generally are the most transparent elders in our society, most ineligible for release and uncognizant. There is an undeniable justice to be found in the fact that in our society, the law reads that a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty, and some men, simply because they are poor, are denied their freedom while awaiting trial. Other men accused of the very same crime go free, which is so different between the two men, meaning that one has money, property, and friends, and can post crime while the other man has no resources to secure his own freedom. Something we find disturbing is the generally accepted fact that the quality of justice extends markedly different for those who are able to post bail and continue from those who find themselves in trying to leave trial. Confinement is serious and treats those guilt. The view of the ad hoc committee is that the present delay in the criminal justice system is prohibitively expensive, that it is counterproductive in terms of knowing deterrence and rehabilitation direction. The view unreasonable delay as a form of preventing detention is productive of untold social disorders. By this we mean to say that lengthy separation is occasion for breakdown of family life, the loss of employment, contributing to rise in increasing dependency and rising welfare statistics. So strong is the former Attorney General that the feeling against our present criminal justice system and finds persons incarcerated for lengthy periods of time under conditions that attack the human spirit. When he was asked whether he believed that most people charged with crimes were impeded the first time in the experience of trial, he replied in the affirmative. In Portland, the present system is one entered to see on a narcotics charge on February 25 in case of injected trial of the week 17, 8 days later. My understanding is that presently in Multnomah County, the average time per case from indictment to disposal is 120 days, and the lag time is currently 7 weeks. Lag time, I understand, is the term used to describe the time between arrest and indictment. Mr. Barton of the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office tells me that under present docketing conditions, the bill on which the app I'm testifying would require that every defendant be released. The nature of the problem that we've seen in the statistics that showed in 1966 in Multnomah County 939 persons were indicted as compared with 1,909 persons who were indicted in 1970. During this time, I was told there's been no increase in the app in the District Attorney's Office to keep abreast of this increase in caseload. During each of the past 4 years, the caseload in the District Attorney's Office has increased by 25%. By the time the next session of the legislature meets, the problem will be half again as large as it is present. With this information in mind, I'm wondering whether this session of the legislature can afford not to deal with the problem of delay that our proposed legislation has. One of the questions I've been asked is, what is the statistical basis for the consent process for board legislation? How many persons are we talking about, in other words? I was asked, what percentage of cases will this bill apply to? Some questions I've been able to find answers for. There are many unanswered questions simply because the interior records have never been kept in the past, and even currently they would make it possible to find answers. Everywhere I turned, I thought I was received with openness and spirit of cooperation, so many statistics are like. What I'd like to do is submit to you the information I have, frankly, based on the fact that some information I do not have. One key question I cannot answer is how many inmates are about to be jailed, presently are persons who are inside and are awaiting sentence and held for pretext investigation. I do not know how many inmates are about to be their persons who are there because of delayed requests by defense counsel, nor do I know how many are being held present to delay charged by a victim of crime and not raised to trial. There seems to be no record of the number of persons being held for extradition to other jurisdictions. I was unable to, in addition, to find a number of persons being held in narcotics charges for being held for an offense relating to marijuana. There seems to be no breakdown as to the number of felons or inmates as opposed to the number of inmates or misdemeanors. There likewise seems to be no statistics in the that would indicate the number or percentage of the population are receiving. I have information, no information for the average person to jail, but the following information I do have. For the period 1959-1970, the expenditures we're talking about for jailing in Multnomah County amounted to $1,142,111. For 1959-1970, the total budget for staff in Rocky View Jail was $3,886,240. I was told the average monthly population is 400, the $6.05 is the inmate cost per day, and the figure excludes capitalizing costs of the building, excludes building depreciation costs, and excludes depreciating costs of equipment. 326 is the number of inmates waiting trial for the 12-month period from February 1970 and end of January 1971. My information is that as of the end of January 1971, there were 146 persons who had been in occupied jail more than 60 days. As of March 19, this figure appears to be 173 plus or minus 10. 46 and 14% of the 326 figure had been in occupied jail at least for more than 4 months, which is 80 minutes. The average length of stay based on the 326 figure is 2.86 months. 109 inmates have been in 60 to 90 days, and 109 inmates have been in 90 days or more. 45 men have been in Rochester jail 5 months or longer. I was told that 173 persons waiting trial who have been in Rochester jail longer than 50 days is a figure that remains fairly constant, that it includes people waiting sentences. An educated guess from a person in the DA's office is that 150 of the 173 persons who as of March 19th have been in Rochester jail longer than 50 days have been awaiting trial. Only 17 to 25 are waiting in sentence. The heart of the problem, according to one source, is getting on the docket. The problem seems to be one of getting cases for trial once they are processed. As it stands now, every single one of the 500 active pending felony cases in the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office will be affected by this proposed legislation because there's no way to give trial 6 days in the current procedure. One possible solution is removing one burden on the present system, I was told, is to adopt the practice in the federal court system that requires co-defendants to go to the same trial by removing the present right to a separate trial, meaning the 60-day time limit would not be honored. The second recommendation that I uncovered was to have the judge require that at the first defense motion that a plea be made after which the judge can then grant the defense 10 days in which they're passed. A third recommendation might be to supply more judges. Philadelphia, I was told, there's 82 judges trying felony cases as efficiently as possible. In Philadelphia, the case may be tried 10 days after the plea is joined in. Philip Selznick has written that the concept of legality is broad, but not to drive justice. It is for this broader concept of justice that we our appeal. The Ad Hoc Community Relations Committee is saying that it is bad law. They have public policy that fails to realize and incomplete the ideals of the criminal justice system. One of the ideals of our legal system is that a man accused of crime is allowed to go free until his day in court. We are saying that whether a person has money or not should not be the deciding factor in whether this ideal is honored or realized. We make our appeal from the law that is the law that offers. Thank you.
Emphasize my statement about the new testimony. Patrick Murphy.
I This question you'll have to ask if you want to. Have you ever been arrested or convicted before?
No.
I've been arrested back to the station. No problem. I've never been before this court before. I've never had that.
Somebody writes a bad review. Don't stab or don't stab. I can't. I'm sorry. Indicates that the President's position on law enforcement and the administration of justice
recommends no more than 70 or 71 days from the time of arrest for trial. I have a news item in front of me that indicates that Arizona law requires defendants to be tried within 60 days unless the defendant waives that requirement. So we see that there are other states which have figures this fall, and we also see that the probably foremost commission on the question of law enforcement, the President's Commission, has recommended something like 70 to 71 days. I didn't have the exact amount because Judge Ellison gave me these figures, and they apparently have so many days between arrest and indicting, and so many days and so forth, but he indicated to me about 70 to 71 days. Now, after we sponsored this bill, Reverend Richardson and I met with Judge Ellis one Sunday afternoon, and he submitted that there might be some exceptions to the 60 days, and Reverend and I thought they were well taken. I might add that I did not draft the original bill, which is before you, although I think it's a good bill, but we thought that some of these amendments were well taken, and they do exist in the minimum standards of the American Bar Association. And in the first one, 5B, which we suggest to the Senate, concerns extradition. Judge Ellis felt that if a man were, say, in Alabama for 5 weeks, and then he were brought here, that under this statute it might be construed to mean that the in custody started from the time he was in custody in Alabama. So I drafted these amendments so that the time would start from his entry into the state of Oregon, provided that the extradition proceedings were begun with due diligence, and that neither Alabama nor the state of Oregon dragged the field. Then there are other types of delay that defends on the ground of insanity or competency to stand trial. We all know that this takes quite a while. He's forced examinations and so forth, and C, subdivision C, deals with this problem. Subdivision D dealt with one raised by Judge Ellis. What about the situation, which is somewhat rare, I think, but can occur where the victim is not capable of testifying because being hospitalized or something of that sort. And there, as you see, we recommend that a 60-day period may be added to the original 60 days by a court order, and that may be increased one more 60-day period, but no more than over 180 days. And there you have the continuing problem of a speedy trial and a victim who might not testify. I submit to you that that's very infrequent situation, but we stuck it in there because we judge felt it, and we did too, that it had some validity. And then the comment was made concerning a man who might be in Rocky Butte or some other jail for a few days and then released on bond, and then having violated his bond would be returned to the jail. And let's say he was returned on the 59th day after arrest. Well, he didn't mean that in that situation that he would have to be tried the next day. And any period that the defendant is not in jail would be excluded from the 60-day period. So Reverend Richardson, speaking for the ad hoc police community and myself, feel that these amendments would be valid and actually would make a better bill than the one that was submitted originally.
What's due diligence?
Well, I guess that's what we lawyers would call legal words. we would hope that, in other words, Alabama would notify the district attorney of X County in Oregon that they had a retail level attendant down in Birmingham. I would submit that some action started within 2 days, 7 or 8 days after that, you bring them back. And in most cases, of course, people are returning without any hearing. A telegram and to find out whether the person was going to fight extradition. And if they found out he was not going to fight it, then I would submit it to deputies to be down in Birmingham, Alabama within another 4 or 5 days, something like that. This would be up to the court to give substance to, but something that would be reasonable and everybody would consider it.
Any other questions?
I think it is suggesting, I just recently put a question, but just how far has this really gone in communicating with the people? I suppose the officers will have that for a third. I'm sure you shouldn't do this maybe something like that if you get out of touch. Why can't you do this in the
bill? I can't say. I think that would have to be directed to Reverend Richardson. I haven't done any. I drafted the amendment,
yeah.
But I have not, you asked what kind of contact we have with law enforcement people. I have not had any, except Judge Ellis, who is not a law enforcement person, but he spent about 5 hours with Judge Ellis.
Do you think your name?
Yes, William, you have. I'm a professor of criminal law at Wilson Law.
Thank you very much. Okay, 11.
I represent the Women's International in Turkey, Syria. It's one of the older groups of peace organizations founded during World War I. It was founded at the Hague in 1958 by Jane Addams, who was the first president. Two of its leaders have been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The Portland chapter was started in 1920, besides the Portland chapter, the Region Oregon, and chapters in Corvallis, Eugene, and Ashland. Our major concern is for peace and freedom and with the issues of war and militarism. We work for a peaceful society. We believe, however, that a lasting peace can only be achieved on a basis of social and economic justice for all. The WIL is therefore deeply concerned with such domestic issues as those of poverty, racial justice, and civil liberties. Problems such as the treatment of individuals by our courts and penal systems are very much related to each of these three major issues with which we concern ourselves. We have been profoundly concerned with the injustices perpetrated by our present jail system. We deal with the present requirements that the present requirements, those charged with criminal offenses, both in monetary terms and payment of acute relief from detention, involves discrimination against the poor. We deal with the present system is archaic, is obsolete, and is not worthy of the 20th century. Those who have funds or who appear to be a good economic risk try to bail bondsmen are set free while awaiting trial, while those who have no money and cannot qualify for bonds must remain in jail. Equal justice thus becomes subordinate to the ability to pay. The trial of the arrested person may not occur for many months. People is without money versus a job or job opportunity, as well as education, family life, friendship, and freedom. We also may be forced to suffer the indignities of our antiquated jail system solely because he is poor. He who has access to money is free while awaiting his trial. Conditions in American jails are among the worst in the world. Sentences for crimes are considerably longer and harsher. Bail is far higher. It is the poor who suffer, especially the black and the minority poor. It is they who are the main victims of this unjust system. Our legal system is based upon the premise that one is innocent until proven guilty, yet the bail system negates this premise. Many innocent people are incarcerated for many months only because they lack one thing, money. It is difficult to have faith in equal justice claims of our court system under these conditions. Records show that the bail system is not a particularly significant factor in regard to the appearance of the accused at the trial. Since it has been found that the figures are nearly the same for those for whom bail has been posted and those released on their own recognizance. It has therefore been recently claimed by some that the bail system is not used to ensure presence at the trial, but that on occasion it has been used as a means to detain, to punish, and to prejudice the fairness of the trial of individuals or groups that are too poor to apply for their release or who allegedly hold antisocial beliefs. We feel that the bail system violates the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, which embodies the right to pretrial release, as well as the 14th Amendment, which guarantees due process. Not only is this system unfair to those who cannot raise bail, but it perpetrates a further injustice on those too poor to raise bail, but who can qualify for bond. The families of these persons, and often the mother and father, must sacrifice what might be their life savings or certain needed income for food and shelter to a bondsman. They will not have this money returned, as will the more affluent individual who can raise the full bail amount. Our organization has been so deeply disturbed by the injustice of this situation that for the past 2 years, many of us have made many sacrifices to raise a sum of money that we can lend to poor people to use for bail, especially minority group members. However, so many demands have been made upon our small fund that we find we are unable to help in a substantial number of cases. We find that the issue is greater than can be solved by individual effort, which is why we have come here today on behalf of the poor to constitute a large percentage of those directors. 60% of those arrested in our state lack the money to hire a lawyer or to post bail. Our organization members, therefore, together with our friends, fully support HB 1533 as a first step in addressing some of the worst injustices perpetrated by the present system.
Any questions?
Any
questions? I want to again emphasize I appreciate not having a constitution. Anyone else here wish to testify on this measure? If not, we'll close the hearing on Council 1532. Thank you very much for appearing. I apologize for the foregone. How long will it take you on 1168? Chairman, then committee, and committee to be in advance statement of our position and justification for this bill. The purpose is to bring the Women's Center into status as an institution and to point out that the Women's Center has been something of a stepchild to correction system, and the women's programs have been less than acceptable. Presently, it is involved in a number of programs that were not in existence just a few years ago. Work release, education release, work down the state hospital, and a number of other activities. were also involved with out-of-state women who were placed here out of the Federal Bureau of Prisons from the state of Idaho. And we also have contacts in California and Washington. And the support services will continue to be given by the state penitentiary. The cost will be identified in relation to the women's census. I'm available for questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I am not prepared. I didn't have the information. And so I guess I'm going to have to ask you, so, we just built that thing, and of course, they sent it to the fathers, and I guess they don't want to talk to the fathers. I don't quite understand what you mean about the families, but.
Actually, this institution since July of 68 has increased in population more than 50%. The capacity is 76. We have 76 women in there. And in addition, we have women up, and we have a satellite program, which we center in Portland. So we have 10 women from this facility, plus additional women from the county, from Mahoma County, and from the federal system.
How many applications do you have right now?
We have in the women's center now, we have 16 on transfer from the Federal Bureau. We have 10 on transfer from Idaho.
Well, are you talking in terms of greater capacity or better space?
We're not talking in terms of greater capacity. We definitely do not want to expand the capacity of this facility. But since we have it, and in cooperation with the Bureau and with other states who also cooperate with us, by the way, with our people, that we want to bring an enriched life experience to those women there so that they will not be just there sewing and sweeping and with dead time on their hands. And essentially, that's what it is. We haven't addressed ourselves to that specifically. And we have not considered going to a man at that institution. No. There is no change in this respect at all. In fact, she already has the title of superintendent. And there is no intention to increase the salary other than that it will come to any other state employees as a result of somebody's state move. I personally would not be averse to having a man in charge of the women's center. In fact, this is not uncommon around the country. The Gilchrist School, for example, where Mr. Pfeiffer is in charge.
Would you expect to have a woman in charge of the man?
No, not a qualified woman. We have women working in our main prison. We have women also working, several of them in the correctional institution inside the facility. We have a registered nurse working in the main prison right out in the hospital in the center of the prison. We're not anti feminism.
Any other questions? Well, I'm sorry, and either I wasn't paying attention to read the wrong thing.
Oh.
Well, I'm out of reach. I'm not sure I really get to touch this deal with the government.
No, I understand
well. May I elaborate a little farther then?
I wasn't a free deal.
You haven't met my associates here, Susan Jones Cox, the Warren Field President, and my assistant, Bob Wright. There are several issues here. One, we want to bring the head of this women's center into full status and functioning as a superintendent rather than as some subordinate.
You mean she's a separate, like she's a co-worker with a specific one?
That's right. In fact, as a matter of administrative procedure, that's essentially what she's doing now.
Okay. And what part of the bill that says that?
Right here, there's a reference in here. Jim DeVille.
Yeah, I know.
From section 2, line 29 on page 2, doesn't it? It inserts in here where it lists the superintendent. It also lists the chairman of the Women's Correctional Center. And anywhere else that there would be reference to the listing of superintendent Cuff and superintendent, it would be carried through.
Okay, now that's not a problem.
Also, as I'm sure Superintendent Cuff would agree, his duties have multiplied unbelievably. As he's gone to work relief, educational relief, and the multiplicity of children to the terminal. And I don't think that the general public nor the officials in the state realize the burden that this man here carries, but he certainly cannot do justice to women's terminal. As
I understand that part,
what else did the bill say? That's essentially it.
Well, you spoke about facilities and programming, and I was really too really looking for it, and I'm not sure I can relate to the bill. Is this all it does? Is it gives the title and the responsibility of the
lady? It brings her to make her a full member of our policy body.
Yeah, and that's all it does?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I bought this boy, I'm sure.
No. In other words, it wouldn't cost any money either.
No.
No. There's no money tagged on to this. This is a administrative housekeeping thing. It is our judgment. subject to a written approval of the municipal judge, otherwise we have a charge of parole prisoner. All records are interviewed by 18-23-27.
I love the adoption of the number.
Then move to the adopted amendment, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Brown moved to extend the July DPAC as the end of the first approval.
Excuse me, just so I know what the story after what was passed, this is strictly legislation for the regional facility that everybody can get together and be on the program.
Right.
And there's mostly financing, but they can accept money to the schedule, right. So they can accept that, or that would end it.
No, it is.
I thought it was, because it was something to do.
Yeah, they can
That was really orange, you made it seem workable, and it started to.
Well, I would like to get the bill out if there is a question about that, I'll give you a second in the house.
I'm all for the contract, but I just want to work.
Well, I see. For the sort of indirectly, but.
I don't think it's very specific. I
give them grant receiving power because if any money received by the county or city, except the city's grant or federal fund. Well, I think your grant, the ability to accept grant will come through the parties to the agreement anyway. I don't think you need to make the regional correctional facility have the power to accept the grant, because the entities that would enter into the agreement for the facility would have that authority already to accept grant.
That's how
I would think that'd be the way the grant would come anyway, which is through the either through the state or through the local grant. They already have power and authority to accept that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, let's get it going, but you do me a favor if you talk to Kate Gold about this and see if there is another paragraph in there that gives the professional facility the authority to spend money if they get it and spend that.
Ready to give something out of the amendment to the following thing? Is that necessary?
Our company's had bad luck on this procedure, but I want to cooperate with you. Take more notice
of the subject to be infected by the Senator Brown.
Use it for. to lock down the road to really do the whole thing. And that is to permit the trial of a misdemeanor without permission of the grand jury. John, how complicated would it be to amend this so as to permit one to be tried before a circuit court so long as the charge, is either a misdemeanor or, what you call it, a misdemeanor? But you can get away from the necessity to have a matter submitted to the grand jury if it's going to be tried by the circuit court. Not go all the way to allow indictment by information. That's the way you saw it.
Well, in a way, it's indictment by information. It's information in lieu of indictment, sort of what it is. Technically, it would be the following. I think, practically, it would leave money. Because I don't think you don't really have any misdemeanors for you when you go into the court under indictment.
Except that when one talks about, number one, the objection, the point I raised to the bill that came out of one of these committees the other day, the Carson Committee, having to do with the automatic right to have the matter tried before circuit court rather than city court. And I believe I was correct in the law that if you try to try a crime created by state law in a circuit court, then you run right straight into Article 5, Section something or other, one that requires matters to be submitted to a grand jury. What was the idea? Article Section 597. All right. Now, another situation that's being considered where that would just pose a problem. Attempt to establish a single level of court system to abolish the district court, justice court. Now again, one of the arguments against that is that this section of the Constitution requires that all of these be submitted to the grand jury. Now, it occurs to me that unless the majority of this committee wants to go the whole hog, which I don't think I do, but unless the majority of the committee wants to go the whole hog, that we consider taking this as a vehicle, and more than that, it's just amending it to eliminate the necessity to allow indictment by information for trial in circuit court if the indictment is for a misdemeanor charge, just like you do in district court. Do I make myself clear? Okay. Now, I think that would be very desirable.
We don't have enough people here to say that.
Well, no. Could we prepare some amendments to this that would do that?
Sure, it would, in effect, limit it.
Yeah.
Do both.
Not do both, but just limit it to misdemeanors. So that you could have a misdemeanor charged and tried in circuit court without first having the matter come before the grand jury.
Who would you serve for the preliminary amendment?
Well, it's a preliminary examination. Under this code section?
Yeah, I do. Well, of course, I don't think this changes your preliminary hearing. All this says that if you had a preliminary hearing, or held against the grand jury, then the district attorney can take the circuit court under information rather than submitting to the grand jury indictment. And
is this information used in the state of Oregon right now?
Oh yeah, sure.
What
you do now, what you have to do now is use the information to charge a felon in the circuit court. You can have the defendant in open court waive the right to indictment. Then you file an information to the
state. But the defendant has to waive the grand jury first.
He has to expressly waive the grand jury.
Well, really, the paperwork is always a waiver.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Solomon, let's then meet the case on for 1635 so we can get back to work, hopefully. Don't think that will take very long.
No, Chairman, my name is Tony Meeker. I represent the 5th District of Campbell County.
Senator Jern said, I'm very familiar with that county, and you know, I'm trying to spend too much time on this bill. The bill was presented to me by the district court judge in Angeles County, and had a situation developed several occasions when he was unable to get a warrant. Then point to the proper official under this law, which is the sheriff or the deputy. And the motion, the amendment is very simple. Simply extends the chief officer to the state of Oregon. On the way over here, I ran into Senator Brown, and he mentioned to me that the committee was considering an amendment to put in the DHC. I wouldn't say how it was going to be the only life of him, although I'm not a jurist. I'm just interested in offering the court more flexibility than just the
question. This is more of a statement, Mr. Chairman, I just like that with respect to that amendment, the Senate judiciary had a bill in 10-168 with the bill. It's identical to this, except it wasn't identical, but it's the same section and dealt with the content of the next one. And all it did was add the AP court, but it didn't change the language sheriff or deputy of the state, which is the best, which is really, in my opinion, a better bill. But that was the reason that the Senate judiciary tabled that bill. Because he knew the House bill was already passed. Could be an issue.
He didn't have any problems with the House trading the next round of business.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much, Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Senator, for interrupting the chief judge.
Further discussion on the top joint resolution 12.
Here's a looking at the Constitution, the seven language says no person shall be charged in any circuit court with the commission of any crime or misdemeanor, or a way if we wanted to do what I'm suggesting would be with the commission of any felony, I suppose, or any crime other than a misdemeanor.
Yeah, and then take out the take out the language that would delete the requirement for a waiver.
Shall be charged in the circuit court with commission of any, you might say, any misdemeanor where the penalty is not more than 1 year in jail or not even more than 1 year in jail. Otherwise, theoretically, just someone going on to be a misdemeanor issue, but 10 years in the penitentiary. So, the question would be finding it.
don't know if it takes a conventional view.
Well, I'm going to need to start with that.
If we just use the word next to me without the time.
I've got to use the word.
Well, there's no time for it. Either way, it's going to go for you.
This is one of the things that we talked about during the next year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I just see the role of the means under which you start a proceeding in certain court.
I hope it starts at the beginning.
And certainly, I think
we could put it one way. How do we define a misdemeanor now? Is it 1 year in jail, and how much is the fine?
Well, the maximum fine is $1,000.
Well, I wonder if we could get a system of commission of any crime where the penalty is imprisonment of 1 year in jail or a maximum imprisonment of 1 year in jail or $1,000 fine. That way, you do what I'd like to do. You don't have to have, and this would permit, as a practical matter, I think, the creation of a single court system. Whereas now, if we abolish the district court and the justice court, you have to come in and have every person who's charged with a slightest infraction of the law, we have to be indicted. So this is one of the greatest practical obstacles.
The constitutionality of the past attorney, they're also supposed to worry about that, so about the city getting up there. Of course, the
The law is followed with a question that I raised in the old Carson day. I don't really think there was any constitutional question on that other one. Yeah. What do you think about Supreme Court having written in the Constitution of $1,000?
Well, you might not say 1 year in jail. Yeah. I don't think it's, I don't think anything wrong with just using the word misdemeanor.
Right.
No, if we retain misdemeanor, we just break it down into three categories. And besides that, there are still misdemeanors outside the criminal code that provide for a greater penalty, not in terms of imprisonment, but for a greater fine than $1,000. But they're still misdemeanors because they don't authorize the imprisonment beyond a year.
Mm-hmm.
So
we could say any time except they have misdemeanors. And we were concerned about jail time, and I think time is time, no matter whether it's 14th century or not, we could say except any time except a misdemeanor, having a maximum penalty of imprisonment, and except having a penalty of imprisonment in excess of 1 year in jail. What do you think about it?
You think you're going to do that now, you're going to do that, you're going to do that.
No. No person shall be charged in any certain court with the commission of any crime except a misdemeanor where the maximum permissible imprisonment is 1 year in jail.
I don't think you need a year in jail because by definition, misdemeanor can't carry more than a year.
Okay, is that the Constitution? This Constitution is pretty misdemeanor.
Because misdemeanor is a common law word and it's traditionally meant. It's traditionally under common law, a misdemeanor was the difference before you go to jail, we've retained that except under statute. We've defined it more precisely over the years and have put a year's limit on it. There are a few weird statutes in the book now where it only authorizes a year imprisonment, but it authorizes you to go to penitentiary and also to serve it. So you still have a few of those. But the year is well set to set already by statute. So I don't think that, and I can't guarantee you that's what the framers of the Constitution had when they called it this. I would assume that they distinguish between crime, by that they meant a felony crime, and as opposed to a serious crime. Of course, the whole purpose of this resolution, as it's originally drafted, is not to deal with misdemeanors, because misdemeanors, as a practical matter, don't go to prison for anyone, unless on appeal, or unless the district attorney knows the defendant's going to plead guilty, then they want the guy to be sentenced in prison for it, rather than the district court, which sometimes happens under your indictable misdemeanors now, where the nature of the crime just doesn't warrant the expense to the state of going through a preliminary hearing and a grand jury indictment and all the build up around the felony.
Now, here's the way that I would like to see it. State constitutional amendment: no person shall be charged in any circuit court with the commission of any crime or misdemeanor, defined or made punishable by any of the laws of this state. Which is punishable by imprisonment for more than 1 year in jail, except upon indictment. So we talk about crimes and misdemeanors and tie it to the imprisonment for 1 year in jail. Disregard the crime. But we are dealing with the Constitution, and if we just use a word that isn't clearly defined, then a legislature could come along, describe all kinds of misdemeanors, and that's really right, probably a misdemeanor, probably wrong deed. So we end up with 7 different types of misdemeanors. No one of which are protected, a right to the commission of grand jury is protected. And this, what this would do, the argument for this part of the amendment is, it has nothing to do with the idea of this proposal, but it has a lot to do with our idea of a uniform court system. Because without something like this, or without this whole thing, you're going to play heck getting a uniform court system because of the problem of trying to be beyond violations of the basic rules, for example. Just any state-made crime, if we had only one level of court, would have to be submitted to the grand jury, and that really kills almost every proposal that comes along when you get down to the
Well, I'm surprised nobody's here.
The real thing that's involved in this whole idea is kind of like a lot of the other constitutional rights, is the concern about the possible abuse of the power of the prosecuting attorney. It's the same sort of concern that I have about the use of wiretapping. 99 times out of 100, it isn't going to make any difference. The concern is that the king will use his power of appointing a chief prosecutor to put his political opponents in jail. And this is one of the main reasons why we require, I think, the matter be submitted to a grand jury, so that a jury of his peers, theoretically, can let him out without, he won't even be tried. And I happen to suspect that this happened to a friend of mine in Washington County, who was being gone after by another friend of mine in Washington County. Got off. He saw it,
This is the Senate Criminal Law and Procedures Committee, Tuesday, April 27, 1971, 1 p.m., Room 315, State Capitol. Today's agenda: hearings on Senate House Bill 1649 and 1784, a work session on Senate Bill 69, 357, 442, 623, 643, and House Bill 1442.
Present. No one here on. We're open hearing on 1784. Representative Hollingsworth.
Chairman, members of the committee, name is Mark Hollingsworth, member of the House of Representatives. House Bill 1784, I introduced on the House side on behalf of myself and the people of the court judges. It allows for citation being issued in lieu of the arrest, and in fact, if you look at line 13 in the bill, it says the name Peace Officer, and this applies to the Peace Officer, the City of County Municipal Corporation. It allows the Peace Officer, the existing line says the Peace Officer may make an arrest, but in lieu of taking the person into custody, then they issue a citation. And once the bill does, they clean up that citation, they delete all that language and say that in lieu of the arrest, you may issue until the citation is put. In other words, an actual arrest need not be made now. And there's making a uniform citation that can be used in this kind of fact and be used by all law enforcement. The typical situation is where the officer makes an arrest and sees, let's say, a drunk person, so the officer then takes the person in custody, makes the arrest, travels clear back to the police station, and the officer has to review the manner of the next day for an actual complaint. Where to a misdemeanor complaint, and sometime later the drunk forfeits for $5 or $10 bail. And if the officer could issue a uniform citation rather than make it, it would save a lot of trouble and expense. I think we need to take off to actually offer the law enforcement rather than having that support to the court for the city jail.
Thank you.
I thought we did that once. Your feeling, Rod, is that he, after he makes the arrest, you're under arrest, that he can't just issue the uniform citation like the guy going in the way, right?
If he wants to take it back, that was an intended change in 69.
You have to take it back, you also have to go in and support the initial complaint.
At some time.
At some time. It doesn't have to be the right thing to
do. Well, that's the reason I wondered, because I thought that that's part of the change. I think in 69, maybe 67 to allow it. And,
but I think what you did then was the officer still has to make the arrest.
Yeah.
But rather than taking any custody, they make the arrest. Under the bill, I think it eliminates the word make the arrest and you just can rule that. This is a citation out of the clock.
Remember the minutes of there if you think
no.
That's all.
We could be encouraged.
Any other questions? Don. I won't pronounce
it. Nancy.
Okay.
I'm Don Nancy, and the city attorney of Beaverton, and my remarks today are my own. Also, Judge Beaverton, the court, who is the interest behind the group, and citation in Lewis Dale. I noticed that the criminal law division commission has called the citation in Lewis Dale, and I think that's the exact term to use for it. It's not a misdemeanor citation, it shouldn't be a citation in Lewis Dale. And although the language currently is citation in Lewis custody, it's probably more citation in Lewis continuing custody or citation in Lewis Dale. I addressed a letter to St. Vincent on April 19th. I don't know if the committee is going to be going to that. We have to do it right now. Basically, what it is that we are opposed, I say we, at least Judge David and myself, are opposed to changing this to in lieu of arrest. The basic reason is that it's working right now. At least for the city of Portland, the city of Houston, the state police is using it, Montgomery County, and a number of other jurisdictions. And I have Don Jones to contact to show me the interest expressed by a number of other cities on his uniform principles. My other technical objections, besides the fact that it's working well, is that one, the person is taken into custody by a police officer, he is under arrest. He is in fact arrested, and the citation is issued in lieu of bail, or as we just say, the police officer that we didn't have a target because of the judge. The city of Houston, of course, we have a great many shoplifting arrests, for example. If it's changed, we may experience some difficulty. So if now the arrest is made by the store personnel, police officer comes down, issues a citation, using his discretion, his judgment, and goes back on patrol. Before the citation was issued, he would have to come down, literally take the woman with the three children back to jail, take the Washington County jail, if they didn't have that jail, or what have you. If we change it to a rule of arrest, I fear that we may pose some problems for a citizen arrest, and therefore we end up mediating a good work that the committee has done already. Secondly, the Miranda warning we give us now as an innocent during the FAS, of course, and this may obviate giving those warnings. Secondly, as far as I've noted here, station has released it. We can use the citation all the way up until the time they're actually put into jail for some cities or others. We say we have some drunk property and assault battery police, and then that's released in someplace else. If it changed to in lieu of arrest, we may have some difficulties in using the so-called station house release in some of the cities. We have used the form that was developed for our two lead larger cities. Based upon this language, and it was recognized at the time by those people who did some work on it that it was in lieu of arrest, essentially, in lieu of death. It didn't. So I would have to do this under the Congress. And incidentally, I appeared before the House Committee and represented not there at the time, and I knew the Congress followed, and I had time to spell matters in the future of the House of Letters. We do have two suggested amendments to make to the Canadian legislation, Chapter 234. One is an ORS 133.060, which is Section 5 of Chapter 244. The person has to appear in court at the time and the date of the specified citation. If he does not appear, then he's subject to a state criminal offense, if you will, for the willful failure to appear, this complaint is filed. Judge Abraham tells me that the only problem he's run into in Portland Municipal Court is sometimes when they appear for the arraignment, they do appear at the time specified, and then may not show up for the actual trial date or something, or may be set over for 2 weeks or something. So I gather there is a suggested amendment. Subsection 2 of 2060, if the cited person fails to appear at the time, the court specified the citation, new language, or at any subsequent time and date set by the court after initial appearance, and the criminal complaint is filed, the court obtains magistrate to court. This is one other point. We speak of magistrate in the enabling legislation. Not all municipal judges are magistrates. Only those who exercise the justice of the peace powers. Some don't even know they have them, I must admit. I would like to see it cleaned up a little bit, perhaps, by using the court throughout or the municipal head or the municipal judge. And section 133.070, section 8 of the Original Moving Act, we have what is a violation of the city or county ordinance, the citation may be used by the police officer. This was an oversight. I don't have my original notes. I listened to the committee tape about 2 years ago when the House Committee discussed it, and during the time that the committee was making internal amendments, I feel they dropped out the language about when the person is arrested by a private party or when the magistrate authorizes to be arrested. And I think that we could tie those two into to clarify this point, that the citation could be used in a violation of the city or county ordinance in all three situations, where the police officer makes the arrest, where the private party makes the arrest, or where the magistrate, union municipal judge, orders the arrest of the woman. And other than that, I think that covers pretty much the only problems we've had with it. One further comment is that we have under ORS 133.075, the penalty is to be guilty of a misdemeanor. I'm not sure whether the new criminal code especially provides a penalty for anything that has been formally misdemeanor that was specified. If not, I would suggest that this is clarified by the staff agency the wilderness area to appeal. Incidentally, Judge Abraham tells me that the rate, I forget how many of the issues went to the statistics, but it's much better than any other format that happened in the rate of 95% of the citation of use, and that's why some of the boxes in the format of the use. Hopefully, the, just like the uniform traffic citations, the cities and the counties and the other jurisdictions can utilize the whole training that the community actually clarified so that the cost that can be brought down to a smaller city and county can enjoy the advantages that we have to be using the city of Portland. Thank you. It's happening.
Do you want me to say, sir, that your photo bill was against the letter?
I'm against the bill to change the in lieu of arrest. I'm against that, and so is Judge Abraham. I do offer the two additional amendments though in my letter to clarify these two points that are brought out in the letter that we experienced over the last couple of years.
Against the bill was passed as soon as the law.
Right? Yes, that's right. But if it came by Casper, we'd be willing to just leave it free to be because it is what it's not.
The last 2 years is he has also led a federal attorney, self-contained to point out 40. I don't feel sure whether it's hinges on that or whether it's sent you or what's that.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to ask what's in the phone here. And my gentlemen, wouldn't this introduce the in lieu of arrest introduce a new concept into our law rather than in lieu of bail?
Yes, sir. Because the officer's question is going to look like a client in the bail.
Then, how do we make the arrest in the
and this is the
arrest is placing him under custody, even if it's for a moment.
That's true. But if
that just bothers me, unless it's spelled out more, that does not constitute arrest. If after he is detained this person, he's in his custody, if immediately under the part of the same transaction, he issues a citation, and that would be a complete departure, but it seems to me the way it is now, the way the bill reads, citation in lieu of arrest, I think there's a conflict there.
I think the foundation of the word arrest, and before this bill came into the world, that if the officer had no choice but to take him into custody. And what the legislature intended to do was, by the following language, it says may make the arrest, but in lieu of taking the person into custody, it may be to incite to
arrest. Well, that's a real custody.
This is custody.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have a situation where a fellow might be shoplifting 15 or 20 times? In different areas, and each time the officers come down, and according to this, might pay $25. Later on, the fellow is applying for a job. Have you ever been arrested for this and that? No, I haven't been arrested. And you'd be telling the truth.
Well,
you'd
be lying.
Well,
he's been cited,
but he hasn't been arrested.
When I was in a traffic station, the patrolman stopped me and gave me a ticket. I thought I was arrested. Was I not?
They had a fight, sir. But a fight was traffic attack.
Yeah,
I didn't see
it. But again, the first day of the station, he talked about uniform citation. What's the
difference? Because when you misdemeanor, when the officer has to take him down and book him, that's why to a complaint. A misdemeanor is such a suspect or
disorderly
conduct.
Well,
the
deputy has to do that, though.
Yes. He does in the city of Portland, apparently he does not. When he makes an arrest, normally he's agreement, he books everyone. If the citation procedure is not
obvious. Does he have to?
No, because you can, as you mentioned, we've summoned you before, they had no force of law, and please appear next week before the citation procedure. I'll come down in 2 weeks and answer for speaking up to wife or something. And in effect, there was a really funny home target. In this situation, as I say, I'm troubled particularly mindfully because we have so many watching that to put it in rule of arrest in the context of the citation procedure. We have problems because all the arrests are made by drug personnel, not by the police. They're merely taking out their hands to change the statute to bring them in. Since the citation bill now, the way the 69 legislation, the person is arrested, the accomplice is arrested by the store personnel and turned over to the officer. The officer's one has the discretion and the authority whether to bring them in and book them, go through the whole bail procedure, or release them right on the spot. He's already been arrested, he's already in custody, in the back room somewhere, and the officer comes on the scene, and he's the one who can use his threat. As I say, I think the firefighter things are going to help out, particularly when there is a problem. One is that at the present time, if the person does not appear in court in response to the citation, he's subject to an additional crime willful failure to appear in the trial. So far, we've had excellent response, and so is the Portland, except that I think we've had maybe one or two cases where the person has appeared initially under the plea of not guilty charge and has not appeared when the police may be sent over to the police and has not appeared subsequently to the public. And it's not covered in here, it's something that just come up there.
Would that be all right in the Supreme Court?
It could be, I suppose.
Except that our warrants aren't good outside the city, and we're using this willful failure to appear as our fist in the double glove, if you will. We have a process. It's just one thing that this particular judge is. And my other amendment, which estimated the major legislation, is that I'm almost certain of the legislative oversight in the amendment process, is that now, for violation of the state law, the citation may be used by a police officer, by a private
what we like to name by the first and when the judge would be there, a warrant to arrest, and also authorized. The language during the city and county ordinance violation speaks only to the situation where a police officer makes the arrest, doesn't come in too. Now, I have to take the blame for drafting the booklet that went out. And I took the position of someone fighting that the intent was to cover these two situations. I don't think it's representative. I don't think any change in the remedy that is the language ordinance in the first place. I don't think that's why the court has to be initially. I don't think it might have changed.
Yeah.
But section 2 says that she doesn't get any more noise for the
Felonies that can be misdemeanor by the
sentence imposed by the court. This is a violation of the ordinance of the county city of Michigan Corporation. So it only makes sense. Now, the city of Portland, the city of Redmond, all have to arrest the felon, take him down the custody, book him, and the whole world.
Well, this would,
I
think,
yeah,
this would still occur under this, even if it's a move arrest. If you, frankly, to get him before the court, you're going to have to file a complaint. And you're going to have to appeal. Arrest is defined by statute as taking a person into custody so that he may be held to answer for a crime. And then custody, of course, and then restraining him.
In your bill, you have to do in that case that person is not under arrest.
Well, you have to go to the next court, but you're going to say it's not taking any questions.
Didn't you say then that it's time to arrest him due to a citation because everything is always waiting?
That's what it's meant to do. Like it is not. He may admit to this, but if you admit to him, he's going to get to him. This is a good
question. This is 90%.
But it says in lieu of arrest.
What are you doing? It deletes the word making arrest.
I'm looking at this, line 5. A person in lieu of arrest may issue and serve in citation.
Right.
My point is, when you say in lieu of arrest, it means instead of making an arrest.
Arrest means, by definition, in prison, and that person in custody.
Well, all right, what does custody mean?
Taking up a good booking.
No, I don't think that's the point I'm making. There are a lot of cases on the arrest. And it provides even detaining that person for a moment to inform him. So that's why I did the proof of passability to clarify.
Clarify what the reason is.
This is original language.
The definition of arrest is actual restraint under the statute. Or by submission to the custody of the officer. And when we were working on this originally, I don't have my original notes, but the whole basis for developing the form and everything else is that the person is not in lieu of arrest. It is in lieu of continuing custody after the arrest has been made. We've always understood that to be the situation. And with all respect to the representative, we see no reason to change that. Especially since it's been working. There may be problems that Gretchen is having. I don't know what some of the district courts
are. I can only
answer for due to the court.
I don't know.
But it's
general
court is a different kind of arrest.
But I think that the Senate bill 40 is incorporated in the lieu of bail or fund bail.
The new criminal code, we got some bail jumping provisions, and the relationship to the existing law is state. No RS 132045 is during the citation to remove bail would not be effective. I don't think the intent in the new criminal code is to affect this procedure whatsoever. And I would think that the arrest and custody and all the other definitions will be covered when the commission goes over the procedure on that stuff. And as I say, I'm pleased to see that word is responsible and we're going to ready someone on the citation to remove bail, because I think that's exactly what it is involved. We like it. I'm not here to suggest that we're making use of it, and we're delighted that the legislature is actually using
it. I don't think it's clarified that bail, maybe they can use that case. I think it does. But the case is on what constitutes arrest. But if you get about the concept of the policy, that's the main point of the case.
I would say maybe I'm part of the party.
So that would be the
Thank you. Any other person here that wants to testify for on 1784? Not the hearing proposed on 1784. We'll stand by for a minute or two. Legal counsel from the House Judiciary is coming over on 1549. I would like to hear what that is about.
I was born in 1947.
All right, we can. Dick, are you prepared to?
Yes, I'm just trying to see it, but saying that these bills are in the full city bill book.
Yes, they are.
43. I wish I could remember them. Number of years from here, get it out first. Well, I got 643 before this thing, so pass it out. I mean, this has to do with fuel burning and smoke being blown across the highway. There have been accidents.
What's the number, please?
643. And she passed out the way. When a farmer gets a permit to burn a field, ordinarily the procedure is it's solicited to the authority. They want to know where it is, and it's on a highway. Even though the sanitary authority is allowed burning that day, if the wind is such that they didn't have it to burn on that particular spot on that highway, it would not issue a permit. However, even when the permit is issued, as well as it's going to be okay, and it happens that the winds come up and you have bad conditions on the highway inadvertently. You know, this bill provides that the state highway commission that has the authority to provide signs. So it provides suitable the sign and spacing it on the sign. And these will be made available to the permit issuing authority. It will be paid for by the rental of the farmer to use it. It's a self-supporting fee. The highway department was set up the procedures as to how the sign should be put. The distance and the number, and they would also have the put size and what to put on. And then the farmer goes to get a permit, and the authority says, well, this requires, it comes under this provision, and this man then rents the sign, and follows the instructions. Hopefully, they're now using flagmen on occasion, and this is kind of a haphazard thing that the instructions are put down in black and white, so everybody knew what the responsibility was. We could avoid accidents, so the party killed, right, the Polk and Benton County line last summer because of fuel burning. Although in that particular case, the question of whether it was altogether the fault of the farmer, because the driver apparently just kept right on going and worked. I'm assuming. This bill has been worked over pretty carefully by the highway department and by the farmer, by the sanitary authorities, and by the state farm office office. And when we amended, empower any law enforcement officer to to enforce this, if there was a driving by and saw it, and trying to go talking to up or went up. No, you don't, I'm sorry.
Those amendments are on page 2 of the Senate and Gross Bill. And the Senate and Gross Bill is what I don't have. Were you talking about 69? I thought you said
42. No, 43 is what I'm talking about.
Farmers support this, the Farm Bureau helps in drafting the bill and also assisting the amendment. They wanted to have it signed, they wanted to be sure that they support the bill as being so safe. They're suggesting that this amendment that any police officer.
Tim, I have
a
helping participate in the steel burners execution here. If they want it, fine, but I and it's safety, but I don't know. I think
do they want more lobbyists?
Cool, I think so.
Are they out now?
No. Judge Curry over there, but
they follow the rules.
What seems to me is that if I'm thinking this situation where the order is likely to smoke will come over. They're ordered to place the sign. They don't place the sign, or they're somehow negligently or they have to mix up on the sign plate. Then somebody is hurt because of the smoke. Seems to me that you're guilty or negligent as a matter of law for violating the sign law.
Yeah.
And if they're willing to be good citizens,
Right now, they have no protection. The
driver has no protection.
No, the farmer has no protection. There's no official line state what he should do, except putting on the highway to get the permit.
What do you think, sir?
I don't know. I'm thinking that it does, and I'm not going to be alive. If they're all willing to have it, I don't see
why they should. Well, I certainly don't want to make a tough on the farmer. The intention was to protect the farmer and protect the public. If we have, if you have smoke out here, as long as you have to burn, farmers will need hot, more hot water every day.
Well, I'll answer the motion for the amendment.
I move the amendment to adopt this decision.
All those in favor of the amendment to adopt this bill, 643 as printed, will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Carried.
I move to allow the contract.
Senator Hoyt moves that we pass Senate Bill 643 out with a two-pass recommendation. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Brown? Senator Carson?
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Senator Key?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Senator Hoyt, you can carry the measure.
Thank you. Senator 442.
Wait just 1 minute. We have
guest
House producer, 1649. We have just 6 minutes.
I'll do it in about 3 minutes. Thank you. I'm Devin Quagle. I'm legal counsel for the House Judiciary Committee. And I'm here to appear in the absence of our chairman, who no fault of his own. I assure you, I'm counsel of 1649, which was a judiciary committee bill. This bill was initially introduced before the House Judiciary Committee amendment, which was deleted from the provisions of affiliation for CDC. Section has allowed even parties to pass a jury trial upon demand. It arose because there was communication to the committee from judges around the state indicating that there was some confusion because of the insertion of this language in the building during the last session of the legislature. The confusion arose because in section OR 109.155, the language of existing law says that the court is in private privacy of the first determination of the penalty, and they go on to say if the court finds that the defendant is the father of the child, if some entity is the determination of the appropriate relief to be granted. Then when the language allowing either party to demand a trial by jury was inserted, the judges were differing around the state in their interpretation on whether the jury was only allowed to determine the issue of paternity, or whether the jury was allowed to determine the appropriate relief to be granted, and whether the jury could be either or both on relief. Various circuit courts around the state were applying the law differently, and there was confusion in the result of this confusion. Should be clarified. The introduced bill to release the jury trial requirement was determined not to be the appropriate way to go by the constitutional being given the policy that given itself is claimed should be applied to the jury trial and against the solution for students are now treated strictly as civil cases. And so they changed the wording of OR 109.155 by the amendments adopted in this committee. We say that the courts are the jury for determining the issue of paternity, and once that determination has been made, if the courts are the jury, as one has been demanded, finds that there is paternity, if the defendant or the respondent is the father of the illegitimate child, then the court goes on to determine what the appropriate relief to be granted for the rather than having a jury make the determination of the comment, the court, and what medical and this way, Judge Wells at Pendleton was one of the things that they had expressed the sound of the wording of the existing law and the confusion of the students, and he had indicated that the House initiated to make a big deal as a member does take care of the confusion and the problem, so he felt the court had a good law. And he has to be back here, so.
Any questions? I don't know how we'll do it right the first time, so we wouldn't have to say anything about that.
Well, the paraphrase.
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't think we need to. No, I think it's fine. If we did this last time, I think we'd have like three of us that were involved the last time. Can you leave your testimony with us?
I don't have, I'm sorry, I don't have any witness testimony. I can provide a letter to you if that would be helpful.
Did you get good, okay, you that's all right.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to be quiet over there now without a chairman?
No.
No, you're not with chairman.
No. We are moving up in the world because we didn't see the letter against the Senate defense team and have to speak with.
Thank you for the record, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing really impressive to say.
Many weeks to be in the afternoon.
I'll move it out to that.
Then touching me after 1649 after.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Carson?
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Senator Tree?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Only step here and ruin John Quorum.
I'm going to go to the power.
I think it's going to take longer than a minute.
Yeah, I do.
It's a very simple bill, but I
course, all we have to do is get the proof.
Well, listen, we're going to have work session tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll do down.
All it does is change the traffic highway speed law, so you have to take this town on one side of the street instead of both sides. The city central has to be troubled, it's just open space.
You understand.
Criminal Law and Procedure Committee, Wednesday, April 28, 1971, 3 p.m., room 350 in the Capitol. Today's agenda, a work session on House Bills 1003, 1004, 1168, 1533, 1535, 1443, Senate Bills 69, 623, and 357.
That's the one we got kicked back in our teeth.
Oh, yeah, I can handle that. Well, this is Chairman. Senator 59 is returned to this committee from the floor of the Senate, and one of the members on the floor, Senator Newbery, had made some comments. So after the bill had failed, he came back to committee, I went over and talked to him, and he made a suggestion that makes sense to me. You remember, he said, well, there are industrial uses for these types of machines, and so he suggested that. And you said, I think you all have amended copies. He was very kind, very kind, and he picked up. On line 419, this section does not apply to, instead of police officer, or to say any person who is operating or riding a vehicle which goes less than 50 miles an hour. Now, this broadens the bill considerably, but I don't think it does any damage to the safety concept. And the only question I can see is, if there are people who are dead set against the helmet law, I have to remember strong favorite. But it may be that people who are against the helmet law would vote against this just somewhat deemed vindictive. I don't know. But it seems to me that this accomplishes what the sponsor intended. I think it takes care of some other unnecessary inconveniences that are not hazardous. And I have no qualms about endorsing this as it's amended. And it came out of the committee, the subcommittee.
I think it's a better right to fall on doing that.
I move the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Carson moves the adoption of the bill. All favor say aye.
Aye.
I move it to the floor of the due pass as amended.
Senator Carson moves it to the floor of the due pass as amended. Clerk to call the roll.
All right, Senator Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Carson? Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 357 was introduced by folks from Clackamas and Douglas County about a problem they had. But to tell you the truth, they didn't understand their problem. But we went to work on it, and we found out they didn't know what they were doing, and so we thought we'd try to do something constructive. And Senator Carson can explain what we have before us here. I think it's a constructive bill.
Chairman, some time ago, the law 374-335 was enacted to allow log trucks that otherwise are not licensed to operate on a highway to cross a highway. There's at least one area where they cross that they cannot cross directly. They must go some 1,100 feet down the road and then turn. Hence the statute. The problems that Senator Hoyt related to were that in some counties, particularly in Douglas and some in Clackamas, this was being abused and the roads are being torn up by these unlicensed vehicles. So they introduced Senate Bill 357. We've stripped Senate Bill 357, and what we've done is provided that a handhold, because the permit must be issued pursuant to 374.310, and first of all, we say they're I'll take it in order. We say they're not subject to ORS 483.502 to 483.545, which is basically height, width, length, and weight requirements of trucks in the statute. So we, and that's what they take out. And then we say that they may use it for they have this exemption provided that they are subject to the permit issued or a person authorized by such permittee or a farm tractor implement, and that's just to keep the farmers out of it. The result is that because we require them to have the permit, one of the requirements of getting the permit is to pay for beating up the roads or don't beat up the roads. We've even strengthened the law because now specifying that we're just talking about the weight, length, height, and width of a truck, they are for the first time be subjected to all the other traffic safety laws in this 1,200 feet. They have to signal and all this sort of stuff, which they now do not have to do.
Or
drunk driving, yeah. I think as the chairman of our subcommittee said, just started out kind of making a bad bill worse. And I think now, although my explanation is longer than the bill deserves, has really strengthened the law and got precisely the trouble the two counties were worried about and makes for a better law. So I move the amendment to Senate Bill 357. Move to the floor, do pass as amended.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye. Did you call the military 69?
Yeah, so I'd like to have a different type of deal. Fine. I thought we had Betty's bill blocked out here.
No, we did it last time.
Did we do it?
Well, I didn't get the vote on.
I
got that one.
I'm going out the door. Okay.
I thought I was really informing to everybody when I kept talking to nobody. I didn't mind myself.
I was standing right behind you.
Yeah,
the door.
He says I'm here. Okay.
I have him
recorded
before. I
have
to right.
Done.
Exactly.
Well, you got Danny first. I've told you that before. I need it. Well, this leaves us a little tougher here.
Well, I'm prepared to vote it out of move the amendment and vote it out of committee.
Oh, is this the third bill?
Yeah. With one proviso, and then that's a Tony carries.
Right.
Otherwise, I will not move.
This is somewhat of accommodation.
And I move the amendment to Senate Bill 623. Do you have them in front of you? Don't you? You have them.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Did Tony get to see the amendments that were on?
He was up there. They were made before we got them, weren't they? When we met up in the your office.
I can't speak. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think they were on there, and I think he.
Yeah. I don't know where he's got on there.
All right. We'll pass this if there's anything wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
let Tony look it over.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, if he's him, we'll have Tony look
it
over.
You would agree to hold it back. Or call it back.
You'll hold it.
All right. Senator Hoyt moves the amendment to 623. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Senator Hoyt moves the adoption of
Passes the floor, do pass as many.
Well, I'm trying to talk to you, this is how it feels.
We got to vote.
I'm sorry.
Let's
say you might get more people, they have more trouble.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Mr. Trump?
Aye.
And Senator Curry?
Now, 1443.
Well, are you familiar with this deal, Ron?
I have, at least I get this in my book now. I don't find numbers. I have four.
There are no amendments to it at the case of the House. We got a good vote in the House. The subcommittee is unanimous in favor of it. I think it's going to be controversial. I think we need to feel out the full committee on this to see how it stands.
I think it's a badly misjudged bill. I think once you think about it, I think, as I said the other day, I agree with Dick that when you first look at it, it goes, ugh.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear the arguments against it, really.
Yeah,
I haven't heard a good one yet. Because most people think that's the law today.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, when we first had liquor in Oregon, you could not carry an unsealed bottle in your car. Now, I carried it in my grip.
Now, who said that?
Well, how old are you? When did the Knox Law pass? Remember? Remember the Knox Law?
Oh, I remember.
Okay, well, I think that's all part of it.
I don't know about that.
I know people didn't know it was up the law about it.
Well, yeah, I think that there has been a very interesting, I think there's been a gradual interpretation of this thing by police officers. So one of the things they look for, as soon as they
stopping the other and the adults, and I think it's a little bit of bottle, it's parked in. So, as a result
of the need to go to the people, then you've got to get into law.
I
don't know.
I
don't think it's
a good thing.
You see,
this
says nobody may eat in the back seat.
Correct.
Can't have an open bottle, too.
Like, what if you had a.
David?
What if you had a
cocktail
full of
mixed cocktails? That's all right. Or as we have a testimony here, the guy took his windshield washer quarter bottle, cleaned it out, put vodka tonic or something in it, and then took the hose that came up through the firewall, and he'd get a shot and a half every time he pushed his windshield quarter. And they couldn't, the guys were just drunk in a skunk and they couldn't find any bottles or anything.
It really happened to the store.
No, this is what Tetchner or somebody testified. Someone testified to. I'm going to try it out this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Is it
going
to be cold?
Well, it only works pretty good during the winter, that's all. Yeah, you could run through a coil. You know how those little things work. You put a cooling coil, run it by your air conditioner, right on. Put a light machine in the cigarette box.
If this passes out of committee, I'd like to talk to John in terms of two other major bills we have, an empowerment bill that we are now waiting for some amendments, and also the death tax. He talked about a package, and whether how big a load he wants, I have no way to judge. I'd be scared to death of it, but I'll talk to you about that.
You disagree with that, don't you, Betty? Why don't you talk to John? You're kind of winning me over, and I was one that kind of said lobbied John earlier on.
We don't want to talk to
Dave, but you're starting to win me over, and ought to talk to John, because I feel kind of bad because I was one of the first that said, the big package and look what the Senate's doing.
I think
our colleagues are getting things.
That's why I work with the abortion
and,
bill. Never mind the credit, Republic, just get the goddamn bill.
I think
it's
a lot better one at a time.
Slipping them by one at a time.
You just have the criminal code. You could have probably, this year can't say that, an article or a time.
Oh, I don't.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I
think somebody ought to mention it to John, too.
I will.
Because I think you're right.
This is the first bill that's ready for the full committee. I think next week we will have a substitute for the common bill, and maybe the best test bill too. Yes, we can probably get this out by Monday. You folks do. Thank you. I'd almost see how this can come back. Because people are going to say, well, you just have to get a kid to set a canister in the car. A good defense lawyer can just make fun of this thing, right?
Well, I don't know. That's the whole purpose of it, though, Dick. If you're really serious about not drinking and driving, that you're gonna we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And
so
I think
what do you think about a cocktail
table? Receptacle? Okay. Couldn't think. Could have an orange. For the hypothermia. But that's a receptacle too, then, isn't it?
Well, a lot of folks in this subject think this is a very, very important bill. I think the police do. Captain Fisher does.
What are we waiting on now, Mr.
Chairman? Well, I'm sort of waiting for Tony on that bill and this one, 1443. I would like to have somebody on the full committee besides myself.
You're the
Well, what I would do, the only benefit is to get the feedback to see what happens to your three other people, for instance.
Well, I agree with Senator Hoyt on this, because that's what used to happen to us in judiciary. My first session in the House was that the three two ways and means of Ed Johnson and Redden and
passed out the first.
Very happy to hear that.
SB 69357 and 6.3, we do not take action on 1443. A little bit different than what it is.
And pass the House.
Then Burns came in. And neither one of you have been opposed to that bill. Thank you, Greg.
Go ahead and pass it on in. Well, we need to get some really critical opinion about this, Tony. In all honesty, not to be sarcastic.
That's what a woman can have a good model.
We've got Mr. Carson. Well, this is not a legal question. This is a public opinion question. I think that it would be illegal to have an open and unsealed container of any sort that had alcoholic beverage in it. Your beer can, a beer bottle open, a whiskey bottle half full.
Well, I'm going to vote no on it.
How
what? Guys, when I go hunting many times, I'm going down the road and I'm hotter than hell and I've got a can of beer in my hand.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. I'm going to put a public policy.
And this also provides that your wife or someone in the back seat, a friend, can't do it.
Well, it's more my wife sits in the back of the car and drinks all the time. Loaded because she's done with traveling.
But you won't have any objection to a Tony mic.
Well, Tony, frankly, this bill has strong support in the House, and we have very respectable testimony before our committee today. The reason that I want to get as much exposure in the committee is a serious concern. The full committee is that, frankly, I'd like to see it passed. And I think if it doesn't have a chance, the question is, I'd like to have your opinion on that. Do you think it will pass the Senate?
I don't have any idea. I know I'd oppose it.
Well, that's the question is whether or not whether the feeling on the part of the members of the Senate that it should be passed, it might be difficult to vote against it. They don't like it. Death place that you're going to kind of be killed is it.
What
abuses have we had? Any substantial evidence of abuse? Any reason why this could be wrong?
Well, we know the statistics about the number of accidents where alcohol is involved. And a lot of those books have been written in the past. You don't have statistics on that budget, on that item.
I think another good thing is the litter problem. That's the tendency for the kids, if it's time to drink, they've got them three ways now. We've got them, one, they can't possess it, two, they can't drink it, and if they throw it away, we've got them. What's this one?
I think that the pastor's bar will encourage litter.
No, it discourages litter.
Three bottles less than I weigh a month.
No, I sell them four, don't I? That's my specialty.
I think it would encourage you.
I feel like if it's empty, it's no problem.
Well, I see.
I never thought about the risk. Drink it all. It's empty.
And now he goes.
And the bottle containing any alcoholic liquid.
The empty cans would be safe.
Yeah, I know. It probably has some residual amount of
it. Oh, it evaporates, huh?
Only the alcohol is not good. For a long time, I thought this was the law.
So then? Well, I'll move to the floor, Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate. I'll do that.
I'll try to move up to 14.3 with the floor to the task. First and over. Thank you, Chairman.
You're going to vote no, son?
Count it.
Be careful, though, because I vote after you do.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Senator Carson?
Aye.
Senator Cook?
No.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Senator Curry?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Thank you.
I'm going to look for the best man to carry it, if you don't mind.
Well, if you find somebody else, I'll leave it up to you.
Okay, thank you. And you're going to hold this in committee, and you won't send it to the desk yet.
What?
You're not going to send it to the desk until
Tony and Vern are going to be gone, right? That's the deal.
Well, that's still a no vote. I'm not going to say what they say, it's just a no vote. Excuse me, I was hoping you wouldn't. I tried to get any comments, you wouldn't.
The day that it comes up, we could buy a six-pack of beer and drive down the block.
You drive down the block. No, but I don't want to go to the desk.
The reason you're getting a lot more doors is that at one point, John wanted a passenger of this type of bill. I mean, one big bill, but one day.
You want to try to go to the day, though, when you have flags out.
Now it's
Betty eloquently stated the group is getting cranky.
Turn to House Bill 1003.
Now, does this Court of Appeals maintain a field of these problems? Now, what I wonder, has the bill gone through that clearly gives, and I feel very sensitive about this because of the one case I was involved in, realized that you cannot. There is no provision for the state taking an appeal from any preliminary order, like a sustaining a demur in district court or justice court. Now, has any other legislation gone through that would cure that, or do we need to? Couldn't we clarify in this bill that the state has the right to appeal any order in justice or district, or for that matter, city, municipal court, any order against the state entered preliminary to submission to the jury. Now, I'll tell you the exact illustration of that, and this is it. For me, case of Troutdale versus Myers, that was the horns of the dilemma that I was hung on in that case. Judge Beers, erroneously, I think, sustained the demur. There was no way that
there that I could appeal that to the circuit clerk. I then, it was pretty clear, I think, although you can appeal a decision from the circuit clerk to the Supreme Court, the present law does not permit an appeal on a legal point from justice or district court to the circuit court. Therefore, I then decided and went the route of a writ of review, and Judge Pro Tem, which was a mistake on my part in agreeing to him, Sanderson, ruled that since you couldn't have appealed from the judge's ruling, preliminary ruling, he disallowed a writ of review. So we were just stuck. There was no way that we could have this, what I think was erroneous, district court decision appeal.
Well, the justice court told her child de novo.
No, but you can't appeal. That's an appeal of any kind. You can't appeal for a child de novo. That's my point. You're stuck. If you bring a complaint in justice court or district court, the judge sustains, they demur, for any reason, to stop. Now, in circuit court, if this happens, you can appeal to the Supreme Court. That was specifically taken care of 4, 6, or 8 years ago. Now, my thought is we should have the same right to the state to appeal a preliminary ruling by the court in a district or justice
court. Well, I haven't talked it through, but if we amend it in that way, then you're going to have a problem of getting the House to concur.
Why they would object. I think there's another bill. I think, I just wonder, it seems like I saw a bill, and maybe it came out of judiciary, but did you?
No, I don't recall.
You were talking about it, what this bill is.
What I was talking about. But you guys
I would rather see that in another bill.
Well, this is on the same subject, the state's right of appeal, and I can't imagine if they thought about it why anyone over in the House would care. Just simply, that's the statement taken to the court of appeals from an order made prior to trial dismissing the indictment. It's really the same thing. If we could add another section to this bill that would provide that the state may take an appeal from a justice or district court from an order made prior to trial dismissing the complaint. We could even amend this. The state may take an appeal to the Court of Appeal from a separate section. We could take this language and put a new section in if necessary. The state may take an appeal to the circuit court from an order made prior to trial dismissing the complaint.
Well, you have to know how about the demur?
Now, that's an order made prior to trial dismissing the complaint. Demur has the effect of an order dismissing the complaint, doesn't that? And what you do is demur to an indictment, don't you? So, in other words, what I'm suggesting, this is a very appropriate vehicle to do that with reference to district and circuit court. It's already allowed. I thought it was already allowed from an order of the circuit court.
No, it's on the indictment for demur.
Pardon?
On the indictment for demur.
Demur to indictment?
Yeah.
Why is this statute necessary then?
Well, it's the method of the other orders other than the thing of demur to the indictment.
Oh, I see. The present time is only allowing an appeal from a demur.
Of course, it's going to demur to the indictment. But there is. There are all sorts of testimony, and it's true. There are all sorts of motions made. I move the complaint be dismissed on the ground of it's unconstitutional or anything. There's no demur, it's just a motion to dismiss.
Well, my thought was, and my suggestion that I'd like to see included, and this is a perfect vehicle for us, is to give to the state the right to appeal from an order made prior to trial dismissing the complaint in district or justice court.
I haven't any objection to it. I'm afraid it might run into slack enough in the House.
I'd have anything in the written bill. Why would they care? Most defense attorneys aren't practicing in those courts anyhow.
Would you have any objection to it?
Probably clear enough.
Let's put it in if you don't mind. I'd like to move in substance that we prepare an equivalent provision to add as an amendment to this bill, giving the state to appeal from any order of district or justice court.
Now that, but that wouldn't be in the criminal area. That would be
criminal.
Oh, in criminal.
That's all. That's only the only place to apply.
That's right.
Criminal area. Just
that's
like
forbidden this. Otherwise, isn't it? Yeah.
He's not jeopardizing.
No.
Well, you write that out right now, and we'll adopt the amendment, or let it fall.
Well, it's simple to draft. I don't have the. I think it'd be better to have Don draft it.
Don
draft it. Simple draft.
You know what we're.
Yeah,
I have no objection to it. I agree with Tony, though. I'm a little.
But
Vern says, if they won't concur, we know the conferees can just rip it out. And
I'd like to know on lines 8 and 9, what's the difference between the new language and the old language?
The 7 is so broad, I think it covers everything. In cafeteria.
Well, they're restoring everything too as it was. The House rejected the request to change sustaining a plea upon a conviction of acquittal to granting defendant's motion for judgment of acquittal. And I don't remember why.
Is it a good plea?
Why the House said that?
In the motion?
I don't know.
Maybe it's because it didn't make a difference across the aisle. The plea and motion, really, are there two different means?
Oh, this is the well, just an additional thing. In order to sustain the plea. That's now.
That's now. Right.
What's the difference between a plea and a motion?
Well, a plea usually comes in the form of an answer, plea of abatement,
this is something that comes in at trial. Double jeopardy is a plea made at trial. So the other is made prior to trial. 7 is an argument made prior to trial. A plea, a double jeopardy is made at trial, isn't it?
Yeah, this. Remember, in 59 when we.
Judgment is after trial. Argument made prior to trial suppressing evidence. Now that might. That again is something that is frequently taken care of at the time when the case is called for trial. The jury. The judge calls it for trial, and then
whenever I get to my legal work, I get overheated.
Think what this would cost the state of Oregon to have all these legal minds working on it.
I know why they struck it out.
I said, living in the right room,
136.605, there isn't any such thing.
That's all right, the starter, is that all right?
The substance of my motion here really is to make it possible to have an appeal from a district justice or a municipal court to the circuit court. And just like the same right of appeal in that case as we are allowing him from circuit court to the court of appeal.
Would that be another section?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we added section 2. All right. Opposed? Okay. What's your desire to see that in the field? I'll move it out. Be fast, subject to someone shooting in
the church, and then see what they're supposed to do. House and the board do pass recommendation as meant to call the rule.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Carson, Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
I'd like to do the same thing. I don't know anything about it.
Aye.
Senator Cook?
Aye. What are you going to do on the floor?
I
vote
same
duty. You vote right? Wait. Why don't we get you starting to vote first? You be a TA, your Turia, then we can all make up our minds a lot easier.
I don't like that. I like that. Sometimes I change my mind four times before the roll call gets
to me. Will you carry this one?
Senate Bill 1004.
Move the floor to be passed. There may want to be some discussion on this. Yeah, we've heard all these. This is the one that Keith testified on. Keith Shaw.
He was against that.
Very strong.
You were like 135.
Well, was I?
I've got to go down.
Well, I know that many people who have contacted me are opposed to this. Senator Carson has moved House Bill 1004 to be passed. Any discussion?
Well, I'm opposed to it. I think that it may well interfere with a person's rights under the Fifth Amendment.
Motion has been made. Is there any other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Senator Curry. I've heard this argument, but I don't call it specious, but that argument is somewhat controversial. I mean, there are lots of good Catholic lawyers who wouldn't agree with it. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true. We had a whole year here. I think we had a long, prolonged discussion and examination and cross-examination on this, and I'm convinced that it's just a good thing.
Keith was, wasn't he?
Has anybody Shelton was going to write it, and the public interest. I did receive a letter. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. One house. It was. I didn't pronounce. You didn't pronounce his name right. It was somebody. You did. Tall, thin guy used to be in the DA's office.
Right. He said that he
quite
was going to research
color.
The vagueness of the term public interest. Studied
right.
California laws, and he said he found nothing in it that it was as accurate as a term as you can find.
There's a newspaper in the last 2 days I read of someone being held in contempt for refusing to testify, and they said there's apparently a case pending before the United States Supreme Court on that issue.
What do you mean that name?
1004.
Did any of the others read that?
No, we didn't.
Let me see, it's a case from the Argonian Capital Journal or the Wall Street Journal. Those are the only newspapers I've read.
Well, you know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Now, where the heck is it? Who is this guy in the jail? Is the guy that was, is that the one that, that's not that Chicago prosecutor. We put it was given a $50 an hour.
That ore ought to be out of there too, by the way.
That's right.
Mine doesn't show an ore.
Do you remember the mention of an appeal?
Fourth line, line four. Can any criminal.
He's been granted immunity.
Yeah, I've got ore proceeding. The ore is left in, it should be out.
My ore is crossed
out. Your ore is crossed out. Is your ore cross that?
My first is on the time I go, I'll tell you.
Line four.
All
right, we just finished. Okay. Good idea.
How do you want to do that, man? In the last 2 days, I read the article.
Chairman, I've got to go down the rules. I'll be back. I just think
I have a letter.
Okay.
May I read this, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
I kind of forgot, although I just got it. During a hearing on April 14th, Senator Missouri asked me to check the California statute upon which House Bill 1004 is based and to check the public interest provision of the California statute. California Penal Code Section 1324 is a basic statute. It provides that after a person has invoked the Fifth Amendment, the DA must make a written request to the judge to order the witness to testify. The judge then sets a date for a hearing, and after considering the issues, the judge shall order the questions to be answered, unless, one, to do so would be clearly contrary to the public interest, or, two, the answer could subject the witness to criminal prosecution in another jurisdiction. House Bill 1004 presently does not include the second provision that the witness not be ordered to testify if he might be prosecuted in another jurisdiction. One of the ACLU's present objections to House Bill 1004 is that it makes no allowance for the fact that the witness might be prosecuted by another state or by the federal government for activities related to the testimony which he gives. On the public interest proviso, the California statute contains includes no definition, and there are no cases interpreting that clause. After thinking about the public interest clause, I cannot think of any more precise definition. Also, upon reflection, I believe it is a wise proviso to keep in the bill. As Mrs. Hanser pointed out, the proviso gives the judge some discretion in deciding whether or not to order the witness to testify. The ACLU in the past has opposed immunity statutes which do not give the judge any discretion. Discretion is clearly desirable. The ACLU is still opposed to the language contained in lines 16 through 18 that the witness is not to be prosecuted for or on account of any fact or act about which he testified. This language is very closely similar to the California statute, but it does not clearly state that the witness shall not be prosecuted. Quite by accident, I discovered an immunity statute in ORS 279034, which was enacted in 1917. The statute deals with conspiracy in letting public contracts and compels a witness to testify. But such witness shall not be prosecuted for any offense, whatever, growing out of or connected with the matters and things so testified to or produced by him. This language is obviously much stronger than House Bill 1004. It clearly provides the transactional immunity and is therefore preparable. During his testimony, Mr. Tanzer referred to two immunity statutes, one dealing with game violations and one with gambling violations. ORS 279034 is a third immunity statute. The presence of these three statutes leads me to believe that there may be many more lurking in the Oregon revised statute. This is merely another reason why I believe House Bill 1004 should be tabled and the entire subject matter should be re-referred to the Criminal Law Revision Commission for in-depth study. Snoffer. He and Tanzer had the discussion. Tanzer said that this very clearly was a transactional type of immunity. He still maintained that perhaps it might not be.
I'd like to try to find maybe it's a good thing that instance that I leads me to believe there's a case pending for the United States.
Why don't we wait, Ken? Just give Vern a chance to take a look at that. I don't
why don't you get from Maxine the statement that was prepared by the Attorney General's office on this discussion in the last couple of
days? I'd like to ask you and Tony, is this one of the things that would come up on the next 2 year study?
It could.
I'm not trying to put some on the rug,
but
quite likely.
I'm going to find
it. It would be one of the
procedural things that we would consider.
Would you agree on that, Bernie? I'm very loath to weaken the Bill of Rights, but I'm still on strong for law enforcement. And we have people here that are both fine people and they're disagreeing on this. I feel that I'm in a rough spot. They live to my conscience and both either way.
Well, we've lived for many years without it. So it's the possibility if you're going to have a study, this would be a fifth study. Probably could live for many more.
That's typical Tony Pickens argument. That might hold you.
That was more so than ad hominem argument.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let's look at 1168.
I didn't hear that.
No.
It was very
it doesn't take any more money.
As I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maxine, no more money. All it does is almost you set up a title.
It's kind of a mystery change.
Right.
It ought to be an improvement in the women, having a women's benefits and special treatment.
Right.
I do without D pad. I'd have to get some help for how to carry it, but I think it's, I was most impressed by this. If the Department of Corrections is for it, it can't be too damn liberal.
It is not very liberal.
It ought to be therapeutic.
Senator Hoyt moved 1168 IP passed. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Cook? Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Hoyt?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Mr. Brown?
Aye.
I'm worried about that, the possibility that that one bill that Wally carried, the possibility that it might pass the House also, denies one the right to bail, or a judge might deny one the right to bail, pending an appeal, which by its terms, as I understand, would apply to justice and district courts, as well as others. And I wonder if we couldn't provide something there that just in case that bill does become law, I hope it doesn't, but where a person has an appeal, not first or otherwise, we don't know which case is going to pass this time. Where a person has an appeal from a justice or district court for a trial de novo in the circuit court, if we might not want to provide for the same equivalent trial rights that are provided in this bill.
So then you have to be sitting there 50 days more, or it shouldn't be a judge more than 50 days after that.
Well, you know, I've received a number of letters on this. There are instances where they just absolutely cannot bring in the trial within 50 days. And then they either have to release him on his own recognizance or in custody of someone or on bail.
Of course, up to now, they're entitled to release on bail. Does this include murder?
What's that last one? No.
So it only includes bailable offenses now. Well, there's no constitutional requirement that you bring a person to, is there a trial if he's out on bail? Does that have to be brought quickly to?
If he's on bail.
If he's on bail.
Well, when I first heard this bill upstairs the other day, out of all the damn nonsense I ever saw in print, is this. And the more I got thinking about it, I was making a little bit of progress in appreciating the potential. But Don Taylor said something after we adjourned that, coming from him, helped me a lot. He says, Thunder Nation, he said, of course the courts will always get clogged up. But if you got a man that isn't bailable, you can push him ahead, and the guy's on bail can sit out there and fester in the sun forever, and if he's available, he's not really hurt. Not hurt as badly, let's put it that way. And this made a pretty good sense to me. So I'm taking this bill seriously where I didn't the first 5-10 minutes, certainly when I heard it.
We had quite a bit of substantial testimony, I thought, did you get it?
In other words, if they're waiting for witnesses or information to come from afar, certainly they can speed it up if they know they have to. I mean, everybody has their priority. Now, what happens at the end of the 60 days? I wish there were a savings clause in there where the judge could say, well, he had to say, well, extend this 5 days to wait for a telegram or something like that. But outside, and incidentally, where are the amendments? The man from Lewis and Clark had some amendments, which to me made this not nearly as severe.
Oh,
yeah. Excuse me, I didn't contradict you, but he did give it to us. Was he the head of the law department or the head of one of the. Was the dean or head of one of the sectors?
Criminal law. Sir.
He had a title. And he had some amendments. And I didn't know he was a professor at the time, and I was professor of the amendments. And I said, well, you must have said this quite a bit. And then I asked him what he did, and he told me.
Somebody else wanted municipal.
Well, why don't we add that too?
And the language won't say, will it?
We're talking about 1535?
Yeah.
You want to put another section on? Yeah. There's a five. Mm-hmm. Rewrite it to a five.
Who was it that text five for? Yeah, Evelyn Spare.
Yeah, that's right. So, am I right? If the House Judiciary, after they pass the bill, has some reservations or some changes they want to make, is that right?
On this one?
I don't really know.
That's
all right with me, so I put it out the way it is with that one amendment.
Senator Brown moved that we add justice to the peace in the caption, so that part would be included in the case there. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, you want to
hear it? I move the bill. Do so.
Senator Brown moves the bill out. Do you pass the amendment? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Cook.
Aye.
Senator Hurst.
Aye.
Senator Drew.
Aye.
Well, that's in judiciary, do you mind?
Hmm?
That goes in judiciary, do you mind?
I thought it was going there.
No, they're two bills. Both dealing with the same subject that's going to judiciary. It's set bill 198.
Well, that bill's already been amended to include municipal courts in different types of. Let's hold that up, Mike Justice. 198.
You want to say 1533 again? Oh, I guess
1535 against 198. Oh, I thought this was the same identical bill.
No, this is not. This is the same.
That isn't done, we'll pass this out.
All right.
Having looked over these amendments again, I guess we're back to
15.
I still will ask you lawyers if there is some way to, for some accommodation or for a special circumstance, it couldn't be abused.
I don't see that there's anything too wrong with the bill the way it is in that respect. I think Don is right. Most of them are going to be released on bail. And
if the it might require the court to more a little more carefully scrutinize some of those people that want to be released on their own recognizance. That would be one way they could avoid this problem, is to release them on their own recognizance if they find that they're not really very dangerous to release. So you probably would end up with a comparatively small number of
And the tough ones is push them ahead.
Which tough ones push ahead?
What do you think about the amendments to start off with?
The ad hoc police?
Yeah, it's on the back of the second page. Yeah.
They look extremely wordy compared to the words in the rest of it.
Yeah, but the ideas look like that, that they might be worthwhile at least considering. For instance, that B, a guy who might be in jail for, I mean, hospital for quite a little while.
What to say, subsection 5 of the analogy, what do you mean by that?
Well, he just, so that he could add to the section instead of having the section.
Well, that C is rather important, too, seems to me.
They all
look
good.
Well, I was impressed by the way he designed them and he wrote on them. And it looked like it tended to help make this worse. And just the flat edict on this said, I think he was out of flexibility.
They don't look too bad to me either.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. But when they're being rewritten, here's what I'd like to suggest is another section which adds to them. I've written it out by hand, but it doesn't need any real proper legal form. In substance, it reads it this way. The provisions of section 1 through 5 shall apply to a defendant who has appealed from a judgment of a municipal justice or district court to the circuit court. The mandatory time for trial shall run from defendant's notice of appeal. So in other words, let's say he is held after conviction in one of these lower courts, and he is held there without bail, either because he can't make it or because that bill goes through and he isn't granted bail. And he's going to be entitled to a trial in circuit court within 60 days after he gives notice of appeal.
So that doesn't do violence to this bill, I don't think. It is, does it?
I don't see where it would do any violence to it. If it's the second trial, we just say that if he isn't let out on bail there, they're going to have to try him within 60 days after he gives notice of appeal. Now, he has 30 days to give notice, but if he wants to get out quicker, he just gives notice earlier. And then he can get his trial earlier. But if he waits to get his notice.
Now, this is another thing that the criminal law revision commission is going into it. They're going through the whole system.
Of course, I think that this is timely in view of that one bill that's gone over to the House that permits the judge, leaves it within the court's discretion to deny bail.
Tony, would it be any benefit if this suppose this pass is in effect while your commission is meeting the next 2 years, to have some experience about what you really want to shape things up on?
You know, that was exactly the thought that occurred to me a while ago when we were discussing this other bill. And I don't remember which one it was now.
14,004?
No, the one that you asked me if the commission would be studying that matter.
Okay. So that was 1,004.
Was it 1,004? Well, I'd place them in the same category. We're going to be doing the thing with one way. Keep them all alive in the area.
Well, I don't think that this is procedural. This isn't a question of procedure. This is a question of the right to an early trial. That's all it's involved here.
Well,
that
is your it's part of what's considered a procedure.
Well, I kind of view this, the 1533 as I wouldn't say they weren't going to speak, because I knew they don't know what people mean. But that they're different in the sense that 1533 has to do with people's rights.
Right.
And undoubtedly, the abuses are not the fault of the indicted or the criminal.
There's no force that can have something to do with people's rights, too.
Yes, I realize that.
It has to do with conviction, where you are convicting someone, whether you can force them to testify, whether you can.
This is whether
you're going to be lay there in the pokey, you can't make bail. Really, I don't see where that has
to do. I have an nasty thought.
Turn off
the photograph, I got an nasty thought. Let's pass out both of them. Hold up the one and pass out the other one.
If you apply your rule of consistency, we bring back all the bills that may have passed out.
You're the one who brought that up, not me. Go and vote on them.
Well, I'd like to request, how about this? I'll move in a substance amendment that we adopt the recommendations to be drafted of the ad hoc police community plus my suggestion. This amendment to be drafted in that form.
I'll vote aye on the amendment and then let the way you go to the team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. I was going to be doing the further that we'll have Don go over the amendments, get the word, and then we'll have another word.
Can I give you this? This is my.
You better speak this too.
I remember that guy. He didn't put his name on here, but we
made an amendment.
I've not seen that.
Maybe he's doing it.